In September, 46-year-old Ronnie Wilson died after being zapped three times with a taser by Hillsborough County Sheriff's deputies in Plant City. According to a new report released today by Amnesty International USA, Wilson is just one of 334 people to die after being attacked by such guns by law enforcement in the U.S. Dahlia Hashad is director of the USA program at Amnesty International USA. She says the organization has a research team in London who, after learning of such deaths, try to obtain the autopsy report to investigate further.
If we can get a hold of that autopsy report, we send it to an independent medical examiner in Europe who takes a look at it and examines it and gives us their assessment of what happened. And in many of these instances, in about 50 of these instances, the medical examiner, the coroner, who actually looked at the case in the United States and examined the body, found that the taser either caused or contributed to the death. That really flies in the face of what the primary manufacturer of this weapon is telling the public, that this weapon is easy, it's harmless, it's a quick shock, it doesn't do much to you. They're really fond of saying things like, it's the equivalent of receiving a static electricity shock on a doorknob. And we know that this is not the case.
Amnesty's Hashad says that local law enforcement needs to be informed about how lethal such tasers actually are. She says it's not their fault that they're not being told about the risk of using such guns. Existing studies that have been produced over the years on tasers have downplayed such risks. And in fact, the Tampa Tribune reported earlier this year that Arizona-based Taser International has a 74-1 record in product liability cases. But critics have said that some of those studies have been paid for by Taser International, and others have only studied simulated guns and not tasers themselves. Amnesty's Dahlia Hashad also says that they are testing normal, healthy people and not those under the influence of drugs or mentally ill. In the case of Ronnie Wilson, the man who died after being tasered by Hillsborough Sheriff's deputies, relatives told authorities that he had not taken his medication.
But police officers are frequently called to interact on a daily basis with people who are not normal, healthy adults, people who are under the influence of narcotics, people who are mentally ill, people who have some sort of physical disability that might be impairing their ability to act in a way that police officers would view as sensible or normal or respond quickly to a police officer's requests. And it's in these cases that we're seeing a lot of the missteps occurring. We're seeing a lot of people being tased when they ought not to be tased, a lot of people receiving multiple and prolonged shocks for not responding to a police officer in a way that a police officer wanted them to respond to. And for some reason, these types of vulnerable populations, people on the influence of narcotics, the elderly, people with physical and mental conditions and impairments, for some reason, these people seem to wind up on the list of people who die more frequently after being shot with a taser as opposed to the normal healthy adult. And unfortunately, we're not seeing the studies follow suit. If we're seeing that the people who die are more frequently mentally ill, more frequently under the influence of narcotics, then we need to see studies that are looking to people who have these same impairments.
AMC International USA study looked at the number of people who died in the U.S. after being struck by police tasers between June of 2001 and August of this year. So technically, Ronnie Wilson is not even part of the study, as his death occurred in September. But despite such a report, there was little controversy in the community about his death. There was some concern voiced recently in Tampa, however, after an attorney, Carl Hayes, was stunned by a taser by Tampa police officers after allegedly becoming agitated at an Architectural Review Commission meeting. He was later charged with trespassing, battery on a law enforcement officer, and obstructing an officer. Hayes's attorney, Barry Cohen, said at the time that it appeared to him an injustice had been done and that he was reviewing the case to determine what action he might take. An official with Cohen's office told WMNF they are still defending Hayes in the case and are investigating whether or not to take action against the Tampa Police Department. But until legislators demand action, can anything really come out of Amnesty's report? The organization's Dahlia Hashad says there is hope in a study currently being conducted by the U.S. Justice Department.
The Department of Justice's National Institute of Justice is in the midst of conducting a study. So the Department of Justice and our federal government has taken a look at these taser deaths, and they're saying that something is wrong. They're saying that this needs investigation. And in their interim report they released, they said that there are vulnerable populations that we're a little bit concerned about, and we're not sure what the impact of TASER is when they hit those vulnerable populations. And those are the same types of concerns that we've been underscoring for years. So we're hoping that with a department agency paying close attention to this issue, we'll see some movement in terms of legislation. And if we don't have the independent studies that are not tainted with the involvement of the primary manufacturer of this weapon, if we don't get those studies soon, then we'll need legislation to really prohibit the use of TASER widely, and if not prohibit it, then at least limit it to situations that are very, very serious.